It's wonderful to be here this morning. The last few weeks, it's been amazing. And I said to the ladies the other day, I think when I say the communion message this week, I said, don't think I'm taking all your little bits and pieces. So we just had a really good day and a lot of things said today is what we've discussed. So let's just open in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We can come to the Father, to you, Lord, because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he's done on that cross. And when he went back to be with you, you didn't leave us orphans. You sent the Holy Spirit to live within each one of us. Today, we just want to honour you through your word and what you want to teach us, through sharing the meal, as you said, to remember you as often as you take it. So today, we just want to bless you as you have already blessed each and every one of us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I just want to read Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And of course, that was Paul talking to the Philippians. So I just want to go through a few things today. See, Paul could say these things and the Holy Spirit told him to write it because of his relationship. He knew what the relationship with Almighty God was. And he also knew that he had peace in any circumstance that he come across. And you know, what's the main thing? You know, that sign for peace, and everybody wants peace. There's only one way to find it, and that is in Jesus Christ. So the first verse, it says, mine might just read a little bit different, but it's okay. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest and noble, and that honest and noble is just having or showing high moral principles personally. And I know a lot of people, when we say the word morality or morals, people immediately think of the sexual side of things. That's just part. But to be morally okay, it is a lot of different things that come into play. That's the world's way of saying about morality. Whatever things are just, again, having to do with morality. Whatever things are lovely, like lovely, very beautiful, attractive. One thing on my mind at the moment is, not just now, but the last few days, is Tinaru Dam's overflowing. It's a beautiful sight because God has put that vision for people into their minds and their hearts to build that dam many, many years ago. They got together, they did it, they found the money. They didn't have to whinge about the money, they found it. They got and they did the job. They were thinking of the future generations of this nation and especially the Atherton Tablelands. To me, that is a beautiful thought, that people would care so much for future generations that they would conserve water. And God told us, you look after the land, not abuse it, but you look after it and use what I give you. So to me, that is a very beautiful thought, to think of those people who all worked there, had their families there, a lot of them got married there and went on from there. Whatever things are of good report, having a good report is to be spoken of as being having a good reputation, sounding well, or speaking well in a kindly manner with goodwill toward others. The next one is, if there's any virtue, behaviour showing high moral standards again. If there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things and meditate on them. Morality is mentioned often in verse 8. Moral values just include respect and honour, compassion, hard work, kindness, gratitude, sharing, forgiveness, encouraging one another, cooperation. That's just to name a few of them. And you all know that as you continue to walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit starts working in you and bringing these out in your life. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes there's things that we've got to get rid of. I had to get rid of a few things. And I still struggle sometimes with certain things, but the Holy Spirit, I know how to let the Holy Spirit let go pretty quick and let him do things now. So it says that we are to feed our minds with all these things that help us stay focused on Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross. You know, this radical way of filling our minds with truth and all the good things, it's a bit of a challenge at times. Would you agree? Yes. Especially during those most trying times. Like yesterday, I went down and I helped Ben, and we had to walk around and say, would you like to put your name in the drawer? We've got so many beautiful gifts, and would you like to put your name in the drawer for free? And so many people recognised, and they said about, they listened to the station, they loved the garage sales, and there's people just from everywhere that I hadn't actually seen for years. For me, I said to Tim, I said, that is not me, I don't like that. And I found that very difficult to do. And anyway, so we went and did it, and we had a really wonderful day. God just wanted us to be out there. And one lady, she said to us, do you know, she runs a employment agency down there, and she said, you know, I want to say this to you too. Please keep doing things like this, because we need this in Mareeba, that you're getting out on the streets and spreading that. She was so thankful of. So today, I just say, let us fill our minds with the remembrance of Christ's sacrifice, as we've sang this morning. His sacrifice for us. And he did say, do this in remembrance of me. Rodney, can I just have that 1 Corinthians reading up, please? So while the ladies take this around, I'm just going to read this and just say a few more words. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So why is remembrance important to us in our faith or trust in God? Our faith, and some people prefer the word trust, helps us to make meaning of our lives, and it sustains us with hope. And biblical hope is just simply is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. See, it always comes back to him first, because he first loved us. It comes down to what you believe through what you feed your mind. And it's our choice, the world's ways or Almighty God's ways. That is why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, God's way. So in a moment, we're going to just take the elements. So let's do things God's way. He simply said, remember me. When you take the bread, remember what he's done in his body on that cross that day. That's why we're sitting here. Take, eat, and remember him. Then he took the cup and he said, when you take this, just remember, this is my blood that was shed for you to wash away your sins. Take, drink, and give thanks to him. Thank you, Father, that we can come here in Jesus' name today before you, be guided by the Holy Spirit. And we want to just continue to bless you today as we hear the message. We thank you for that. And we come with great expectation that you will speak to us and help our minds to be stayed on you and your ways and your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I will talk more about habits. It's great to be here today. It's great to sing praises to God and to be with the brethren, to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord and be together. It's just wonderful to come here. So I want to talk about a habit today. It's a habit that we need to get into. And it's a habit of meeting together. Not just meeting together, but participating in God's family. The habit of fellowship. When we became Christians, we never had that habit. Because we always thought, Sunday, why go to church? It's another day we could do work. Make more money. We actually found when we didn't do it, we made just the same amount of money. But you have this thought, you got to keep work, work, work. God did not create a human doing, he created a human being. And he wants us to be with him, being with God. God also wants us to be a committed team for God, to be part of a fellowship group or a small group or a church or whatever, or even a big church, to be part of the body of Christ. And it's not just a matter of doing it because we come to worship God. He likes to see us working together and doing things together. Because after all, we always talk about blood being thicker than water. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ is very thick. It can keep us together. And it's the blood by which we come under. So Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. So why is fellowship important? Galatians 6:10 tells us that I belong in God's family with other believers. It says, so then as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially those who belong to our family in the faith. God doesn't want us just to meet together, he wants us to do good to one another. And we can only do good to one another in the Lord. We should take care of what we do with one another. Ephesians 2:19 tells us also, so then, you Gentiles, that's what we were, now we are saints, are not foreigners or strangers any longer. We are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's family. The Bible tells us that. I don't tell you that. You can read that up there however it wants to read. You can read it from your Bible. It will say pretty well the same thing. We belong in God's family. This is our family. All the other Christians meeting on this day, we're in God's family with them. We're one branch of God's family, that's all, one. That is our family. Romans 12:5 says, in the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So I know that you can live without a leg, but I also know people who have lost a leg tell me it's much easier when you've got both legs. As you get older, you lose things from your body. Things don't work as good, or they get hurt. But it is much better. My eyes were much better when I was younger. I could actually see out of them without glasses. I could read in the dark. Now with glasses, I have to get torches and things, or it doesn't work. Our body works much better when it's all together and healthy. So does God's body. It's very important that God's body is healthy as well. But if one part goes out. It's like a building. It's probably not too bad today if we took all the windows out, but I can guarantee you when we're in winter here, you'd like a window. Everything works better when it works together. One thing about God, to God, you are important, but you are not actually just important. Just think about this. You are actually worthwhile. It was worth God's while for him to get born as a human being and to grow up on the earth, go to a cross and pay the price for your sin, go down to hell and be raised again to be the first fruits, that we can live in that resurrected life. It was worth his while. You are worth his while to spend that time. So you're not just important. You are actually worthwhile. God doesn't want his family to be head hangers. He wants you to lift your head and look around. Christians who are not committed to fellowship, to active members in worship, or praying, or serving one another and supporting the body, are not obedient to the Lord. I know that's pretty harsh, but it's true. They are most definitely not in the will of God. It does not matter how vocal, how much you know. He or she may have a lot of knowledge of Scripture, but they're not obeying God. Part of the deal of being a believer is being with God's people. It shows more than anything that you are saved. If you have the Spirit of God within you, if you are baptized in the Spirit, you will want to be with God's people. I need other Christians to grow spiritually. Sometimes I wish other Christians wouldn't be there to grow me spiritually, but I need them. We all need them. It's hard sometimes. So Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good, particularly to one another. God doesn't want us to walk around beating each other up. He wants us to love each other and care about one another. There's a verse out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. This was a verse particularly used when I was a prison chaplain. It was something that we did together because you would be in a team. And you know, I don't see any difference to that being in a team as to us being in a team. I've told a number of you about the time I went to the hotel down in Mareeba to hand out Bibles. And I went with my old mate Dick Connolly. And it was just when I had just first joined Gideon's and I hadn't long been a Christian. I had frequented that pub before, but not to read a Bible or give a Bible out, but to drink alcohol and to be part of the crew. So the name of the lady that was in charge, that was a manager, was Mrs. Buck. Lovely lady, very straight. And we walked in and told her that we would like to put Bibles in her rooms, and the whole bar erupted into laughter. They thought that was the most funniest thing they'd ever heard. But we persisted. And we got it through. And I can talk about that, but what I really want to talk about is the working together with a brother. Because it built a bond between that old man and myself that lasted until he died. We were able to discuss things about the Lord, about life, and I could care about him and he could care about me, because we built a relationship where it's probably like soldiers going into a war, where they have to rely on one another. I had to believe that what he would say would help us, and he had to believe that what I would say would help us too. So we had to stand with each other, even if we got it wrong. We didn't get it wrong, by the way. It was a wonderful outcome. But it's doing a work together. And this is what he's talking about in Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. When I went with Kairos to the prison, that was one of their main verses, because we went as a team. And when you go as a team and you stand together, and we did have a bit of strife where we had to stand together, it makes a team strong. That should be practiced within the body of believers. Proverbs 27 verse 17 tells us that we need encouragement to grow spiritually. And sometimes encouragement comes in different forms. People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. Sometimes we need to get rubbed up to be encouraged. If you want to be an athlete and go to the Olympics, you want to have a coach who will push you beyond what you think you can do. They will rough you up sometimes. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Instead, in order that none of you be deceived by sin and become stubborn, you must help one another every day, as long as the word today in Scripture applies to us. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And sin around you can harden your heart to the Lord. So we need to have one another to encourage and to show one another. Galatians 6:1-2. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There is a law of the Spirit, there is a law of the old law. We live with the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. And we should always be wanting to build one another. When the church does not edify itself or build itself up, it will fall. And when we see bad things happen within church, it causes great calamity, not only in the church, but in the nation. And we have seen that in recent times, things that have happened, happening in the church. Christ is present when we fellowship. We've all heard this verse, "For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them." I'm sure that there are numbers among us who have known that. There is cooperation when people pray together. And I tell you more, whenever two of you on earth agree about anything you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. That's out of Matthew 18, verse 19. And we can believe in that. When we come together and pray for things that we believe the Lord wants, the Spirit leads us to, the Lord will want it done in heaven as well as on earth. Fellowship is a witness to the world. John 17:21. I think I put that one in, didn't I? "I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me." For about 5 years, as we contemplated setting this church up and we prayed, a number of us, that was a founding verse that would always come up. That if we are together, that if we are in Christ, he will be in us and the world will know that the Father sent the Son. When there is division amongst believers, it is a very horrible thing, not only for the church, but for the nation. When people see us as one, caring for one another, loving one another, wanting to be in fellowship with one another, I know there are all sorts of programs and ideas that people can have. We can have big bands, we can have big lights, we can have all sorts of things. But what drew people to the first church was that they loved one another and cared for one another and stood with one another. They didn't have anything. They had had no leadership training. They were just kicking off from scratch. And people just came. I am a servant to every other Christian. Christianity is completely different to anything else because our God served us. Our God came and served us. He didn't ask us to bring this and bring that and bring all this and do that. He came and forgave us. Our God came and served us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one is a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. God gives each one a gift. If you haven't received the gift from God, pursue it with all your heart. Pursue that with all your heart, because he has given you a gift. And if you don't know what it is, pursue that with all your heart. Scripture backs that up in every way. We are to use that in the body of Christ for the good of the body. It's not given to us so as we can look good. It's not given to us to go and help the people out there. It's given for this body, to build this body, to use it. Everyone should have a place within the fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I encourage you to read all the fill-in verses there. Now, if we think this whole chapters 12 and 14 are controversial today, it was so controversial back then that Paul wrote a chapter in between that, chapter 13, about love. Above all else is that the church loves itself. That's loving each other. Above everything that comes, we are to love one another through everything. So I'd like to run through a number of scriptures just on the one another's of fellowship, and I'll end on that. Galatians 5:13 tells us that we are to serve one another. Take that verse home. I'll put this on the website anyhow. Take that verse home with you and cross-reference it. Read it, study it, and have a look at it. For you were called to freedom, brothers, sisters. God called you to freedom. Are you in bondage? If you are in bondage, talk to the Lord about it, because he didn't call us to be in bondage. He calls us to be free people. We should be the freest people of the whole earth. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The church should be the freest body of people in the whole world. Doesn't matter if we're in suppression, they can lock us up. There's an old saying when you go to prison, some people look out the window and see bars. Some people look out the window and see stars. We need to look out the window and see stars, not bars. Romans 15:7, accept one another. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. When we welcome one another, it's for the glory of God. Not little things, it's a big thing. We think it might be a mundane little thing that we do, but it's for the glory of God. Wouldn't that gladden the heart to think, I glorified my God because I welcome my brothers and sisters. Forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Who's ever read the Lord's Prayer? It tells us a little bit in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Anyhow, I just encourage you when you go home to study all this and have a look for yourself. Greet one another. Romans 16:6. I've just got a selection of verses right around the Bible. You can go and get another selection of them that will back it all up. He taught this over and over. Jesus taught this stuff on his ministry on earth. Paul taught it. Peter taught it over and over. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. You know, if you start to live this way, there is no law against you that can stand. No one can judge you. The Holy Spirit will be evident. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we see a brother or sister in trouble, we go and kick them while they're down, don't we? No. We go and help them up. But unfortunately, a lot of times, the church can be guilty of that too. But it's not a Christ-like way. We go and help a brother or a sister up to get back up and to love them. We can commit as a group of people to always live that way, though. Better to do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Being devoted to each other. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour, particularly to one another. We think wonderful thoughts about each other. It's important to God, not just to us. In fact, when we bring disunity in the body, that is called sin. Anything that causes disunity in the body is sin. And it does great damage. The next one, Romans 15:14. So we are to teach one another. I know that there are some people who say you should just meditate on the word, you shouldn't study it and all this sort of talk. Read those verses. It tells us to instruct one another. If that's not teaching one another, I don't know what it is. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Have you got that verse in your Bible there, Rose? Would you read it out for us? So not only to teach, but also to correct one another. So God wants us to learn the scriptures. We can meditate on them too. We can do that. That's wonderful. Think about them. But we are to teach one another. You don't have to go to uni for that. You have to learn to read and write. But when we can teach one another, what a wonderful thing. The next one is a big one because Ephesians 5:21. We are to submit to one another. People today hate that word. Submit. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you know, if you want to see authority work, it takes one thing. It takes someone to submit to authority. Jesus cannot have authority in your life unless you allow him. He can have all authority, but it won't do you any good until you submit to that authority. If we want to see the church have authority, we have to submit to the body of Christ. How does yours read?
Fear.
Fear, okay. Well, I think that's the same thing. When we talk about revering God, we have a fear. Not a fear of him going to smack us down, but a fear of not wanting to do something wrong to him. Out of respect, we fear that we do not do the wrong thing. That's why we submit. We've gone through the other verses. God wants a people who are victorious. Hold your head up. So he doesn't want a people who have no boldness because you don't get nothing done. But he still wants us to submit to that authority. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. I'd suggest to you to read the book of Ephesians because it says a lot about building one another up. Building one another up. So we've just talked about submitting and building one another up. You cannot build one another up without submission. It just does not work. You get calamity if you don't submit. When we talk about submission, it's not about telling someone that they're no good. That's not what the submission's about. The submission is that we know what we're submitted to. It's just like being sincere. You can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. What we need to be is sincerely right, to know the right thing, not sincerely know the wrong thing. We may think we're doing the right thing, but we need to build one another up so as we know we're doing the right thing. 1 Timothy 4:7, I don't know if I put that verse there, but it doesn't matter. I did. It tells us to keep away from those godless legends which are not worth telling. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Whether you liked Muhammad Ali or you didn't, doesn't matter to him. He knew what he wanted to achieve. He didn't go around checking with everyone else. He trained his body, his mind, his spirit to go into that boxing ring and win a match against people who should have well beaten him. One of those men was George Foreman. George Foreman was a much better fighter than Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, but he couldn't beat him because he trained his mind and his body to do this. And that's what God wants us to do. To be able to stand the devil, we need to train ourselves. We need to keep ourselves in godly training, not in worldly training, in godly training. Submit yourselves to that godly training. It's very important. I just want to say to you again that you are important. You are also worthwhile. As I said before, you are that worthwhile that God came from heaven to earth. He had created. As a baby, he grew up. He knows every temptation that you can have. He knows everything that can go wrong for you. And he died on a cross for your sin. So not only does he think you're important, he actually thinks you're very worthwhile. He has great plans for you. Great plans, greater plans than you have. Part of our task on earth is to find out what those plans are for each of us. That's what God wants. But I need to say this to you again, that Christians who are not committed to fellowship as active members in worship, praying, serving each other and supporting the body are not obedient to God, to the Lord. It would be wonderful. We could be out the dam this day. It's full, it's overflowing. We could be out there with the ski boat, having all the time in the world, drinking in our bikinis or speedos, skiing, doing everything, catching fish, whatever you want to do. But we wouldn't be in the will of God. It does not matter how vocal we are in what we know about Scripture. You are not obeying God. How many people here have ever known an orphan? Some people here have probably been orphans. Orphans don't live good lives, can I tell you that? Until someone gets hold of them and gives them a family. Families are there to put protection around each other and to care for one another. Orphans don't have that. So when you're not in a body as a Christian, you are at the mercy of the enemy. One of the things that a body should do, like this body, is protect one another and care for one another and love one another, whatever's going on in any place. We care about each other. That is what being godly is. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us this day. Praise you, Lord. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Father, as we've heard your word, may they actually come into our hearts, Lord, through your Spirit, and fill us that, Father, this would be the people we are, godly people who honour you in every way. I praise you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for loving us so much, caring about us so much, and may we have the same heart that you have, Lord. We need to be taught by you to have this heart, as the Holy Spirit comforts and guides us and teaches us each day. We thank you, Lord, that we may know the love of God in our lives. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being here together this morning to honour you and to honour each other. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.